Good to see some people out here. It's been a long time with just about two or three of us in the church. If you're out there listening to us, we're available to be open again for services Wednesday and Sunday. We do our distancing, wear masks, and following the guidelines. And so you're pretty safe here. Plus, we have the Lord in our midst. So if you're thinking about coming, feel free to come and space the people out. Still have room, so feel free to join us. It's so good to see faces again, though, rather than just when I was getting used to talking to empty chairs, now I'm facing people again. It's kind of intimidating. Wednesday night, we meet here for 1 Peter chapter 3, which we're in. Join us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 1 Peter chapter 3. The ladies, you have your study still via the phone, and if you'd like to join them, you can check with Marianne how to do that. You can dial in on Wednesday mornings and join the ladies over the phone. My wife is joining in, you know, from our home now, and it's interesting to walk by and listen to them, you know, answer the questions and pray and all kinds of things. It's really neat. But don't get intimidated. I'm not there listening to everything, ladies. Just once in a while, I walk by and hear it, so just feel free to share. Today, our message is in John chapter 6. We're going through the book of John on Sundays, verses 16 to 21. And the message is faith, not fear. John 6, 16 to 21, faith, not fear. And let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this privilege to be able to gather again and to still continue to reach people all over, really all over the world, through Facebook. We thank you that you've provided this technology for us. We pray today that your word would be powerful, that it would reach our hearts, our spirit, and change our lives. We pray you would take away fear from anyone that walked in here with fear in their heart. Your word is truth. That's why we obey it, Lord, because it's the only truth we have. Sometimes it's something we don't like to hear, but it's truth and we must obey it. And we know if we obey you today, you'll help us with our fear. And God, we just pray also for our church, Calvary Chapel, Lake Forest, that you'd keep everyone safe and free from the virus. Lord, we pray we're healthy and strong and most of all standing fast in our faith. And a light in the world at this time where it's so dark. Let us shine for Jesus. Let people see you in us and your love and your peace and your joy. We pray for our country, that you would give our leaders wisdom, that they would turn to you and pray and seek you. And we pray you would heal this land. And if it's your will now, Lord, we would ask for a miracle, that you would just intervene and end this virus, that you would just cleanse us from it around the world. And people would know it's you, that there'd be no other explanation. And many hearts would turn to you. We know you perform signs. We read that in John, and the signs were to demonstrate your power so that people would believe. We would pray for that, Lord, that you do a healing. And God, we just pray for the people in California and Oregon who are in these fires. We would ask you to bless the firemen, keep them safe, and provide places for these people to live and turn to. And we ask you to clean up our air, Lord. Make it fresh again. Give us good weather. Give us a rain, Lord. Rain from heaven where you would cleanse this place. And we just thank you for all these things you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6, if you'd like to stand. John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. And I guess even with the masks on, we can still have a responsive reading. Did you find yourself going around to the store and everyone's saying to people, "What? What?" Don't you get embarrassed? You just can't understand what people are saying. And you feel embarrassed to keep asking, "What? What?" But the Lord will hear you. So just do your part. The even-numbered verses, I'll do the even-numbered verses starting at 16. We'll go through verse 21 as you do the odd-numbered verses. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea.
He got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And
Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid."
Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going.
Thank you, God, for your word today, for this opportunity to be together. Use it now, Lord. Take away our distractions. Comfort our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we go through trying times, tough times, scary times, fear can set in. Our lesson today is on fear, how to deal with it and actually defeat it. This message is for Christians because we have an answer concerning fear. If you're not a born-again Christian, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, because Jesus is the answer to fear. And I don't know if anyone that's never been fearful. Previously, we studied of the miracle when Jesus fed the thousands who were following him. He fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. He performed miracles to demonstrate who he was, the Son of God, so that people would believe in him and be saved. Today, we read of more miracles. It's demonstrating that he's the Son of God and he has this power over everything. We see in verses 16 and 17, when evening had come, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. So we see, it was now evening, dark. His disciples got into the boat and started crossing the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was not with them. Why did they do this? Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to cover Matthew 14 a lot, if you want to put a marker there or keep your finger there. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So they didn't just decide to get into a boat and cross the sea. We see here in Matthew 14, he commanded them to get into the boat and go to the other side. He says, go. And he stayed behind and dealt with the multitudes. And he sent the multitudes away finally. And what does Jesus do? He goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. And he was alone there. He strongly urged his disciples to go to Capernaum. He says, get in the boat and go. And he went to be alone to pray. That's good because that means you're free from distraction. Maybe you have times you pray and maybe there's things happening around you or noises and it's hard to pray. Find a place where you can pray. I found the Lord gets me up early in the morning and I can't understand why I can't go back to sleep until I remember, hey, he went by himself to pray. I don't seem to be doing it on my own, so the Lord gets me up early in bed and I get a chance to pray. So the next time you think it's just that I can't fall back asleep, remember, no. The Lord says, hey, this is the time I want you to spend with me and pray. You can get a lot done with that prayer. Just pray. Don't be fighting and say, I got to get to sleep. Look at the time. I got to get to sleep. Pray. And if you fall asleep while you're praying, don't feel guilty. God knows. You know, he's putting you to sleep maybe while you're resting in him. So he went away to pray alone. I wonder if he was praying for his disciples. He knew what they were going to encounter. It doesn't tell us. Now, back to John chapter 6, verse 18 to 21, the rest of our text here. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately, you notice this, immediately the boat was at the land. I don't know that I ever caught that before. Immediately the boat was at the land where they were going, and we'll cover that later. I think that's pretty interesting. Speaks to us about striving, doesn't it? There's a big message right there. So they get into the boat. There's a storm. The wind was blowing. The sea arose. I've been there on Mammoth Lakes in a rowboat with my wife and children. Blowing like crazy high waves. I was rowing and rowing and rowing, and look back, I went about 1 foot from shore. I mean, I've been there, and you just wear out when you're with the wind blowing and the sea rising. It gets tough. And they're out in the middle, 3 to 4 miles out, and dark. Can you imagine? It's kind of a scary moment. Not fun. They get 3 or 4 miles out. What do? They see Jesus walking on the water. Well, that's a different situation. Jesus walking on the water. Though there's a great wind and the sea is rising, there's Jesus walking on the water. And when they saw him, they were afraid. Fear set in. And he speaks, "Don't be afraid." He gets into the boat, and the boat is at land. Let's now go back to Matthew chapter 14 to get more detail on this situation. Matthew chapter 14. We read 22 and 23, and we pick it up at verse 24. "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." This speaks of trials and storms. "The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary." That's a tough situation. We don't read about them turning back. They were obedient. Jesus said, "Go to the other side." So they're going to go to the other side. Just obey the Lord, you know, no matter what the situation looks like. It seems that they were out there a long time. It's the fourth watch. We see that in verse 25. We see now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch would have been 3 to 6 a.m. Wow. They're probably pretty tired. 3 to 6 a.m. Did you ever have a bad day, think it couldn't get any worse? Oh, man. Time passes by. Jesus, all of a sudden, is walking to them on the sea. This is a miracle. I've never heard or saw anyone walk on the sea. They were afraid. So they see Jesus walking on the sea on the fourth watch. They don't know what to make of that. So in verse 26 we read, "When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear." Their human mind would tell them, "This is a ghost. This is a ghost story, a real ghost story." They said, "This is a ghost. What else could it be? No one can walk on water." They say, "This is a ghost. And this person's, this ghost is walking on water. Who's this figure walking on water?" They no doubt would never believe that Jesus could walk on water. They've seen miracles of the food and healings and raising people. They've seen that. But walking on water? See, scientifically, that's impossible. And sometimes we can believe God to heal a cold. But what about a disease? Or this or that? We kind of have degrees of power that God has in our mind. But God has all power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What you're going through today, is it too hard for the Lord to work out? No. I think our problem is we wonder, why isn't he working it out? If we're honest. Well, yeah, God can work it out. And I can believe that for others, for you. But for myself, you see, God can do anything. Jesus could walk on water. He can touch you. He can change your circumstances today. He can bring change. He can do anything. He can give you strength to go through. Jesus can do anything. Nothing's too hard for him. We'd probably do the same thing. Oh, what is this? It can't be. Deliverance this way? A ghost? But immediately, verse 27, you notice they cried out with fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. He spoke words of comfort immediately. He said, be of good cheer. Now, sometimes people will come across our path when we're going through trouble, and they'll say, be of good cheer, Jim. And we're thinking, why? You don't know what I'm going through. That's kind of insensitive. Did you ever accuse people of being insensitive or not understanding? Maybe it's just the Lord's will to get you to rely on him and not on man. Where does my help come from? The Bible tells us my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Be of good cheer. Now, if a normal person would say that to me in the middle of the sea, 3 or 4 miles out, there's a hurricane and it's dark, I would say, boy, you're very insensitive. What are you saying? But who's saying that? Who's saying that? These men were fearful in the middle of the sea. Ferocious wind, big waves, 3 to 6 a.m., tired, scary situations. You ever been in a scary situation where you think this is it? I can also remember going down a cliff when I was holding on to something and the next guy started going down too and he grabbed my leg and pulled me down too. Some friend. Thank God it wasn't a very long fall. I just got little injury, you know. But there are times in life where you fear sets in. A car driving at me and my family coming home from church one night down in Costa Mesa gets on the wrong side of the road. We're taking off from Fairview there, going north on Fairview from Calvary Chapel. Guy, I see headlights way down. Guy on the other side comes my way, right at me, with my family. 2 lanes. What do? Stay in your lane or pull out? What's he going to do? I just said, Jesus. I turned. That guy kept going straight. And we were okay. But fear grips your heart. There's been other situations, you know, that we were in. And a lot of them, actually, so we won't go over them. But God, I think God tests us to see where we're at. Fear sits in your heart. And you think this is impossible. Just call on Jesus. Sometimes our prayer can be as short as, Jesus, help me. That's it. People say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray. You use good words and you don't have a problem praying. You can pray. Jesus, help me. Fear can strike your heart. It's dark. Do you notice how fear so often comes in the night? It's like the demons come out at night, isn't it? Night is so hard. When you're hurting, when you have a disease, when you're going through something, night is a horrible time. They come, Satan attacks. We're vulnerable. There's nobody around to talk to or help. You see, he knows when to attack. It's dark for these fellows. They don't know what to do. Just reach out to Jesus. Listen to his voice. rather than the fear. Come to him. He speaks out. What does he say? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. He tells them in verse 27. Now, the fact that it's coming from Jesus and not just ordinary man, I can believe it and obey it because I'm going to listen to the Lord. Fear. I wrote this down. I got another bumper sticker here. Turn fear into cheer, Jesus is here. Fear into cheer, Jesus is here. Don't use it. Be of good cheer, do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is telling you to be of good cheer and to not be afraid. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. If we keep our focus on our circumstances or ourselves, we will fear. And sometimes it hurts us because we stay longer in the trouble. Because we're thinking on the trouble rather than the Lord. Don't be afraid. And he gives us the answer, verse 27. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. It literally is I am. Remember the I am? Who's the I am? Jesus. He's the becoming one. He's all you need. It is I. It is I. You see, if we know that his eyes are always on us, even though we don't see him, we will be okay. If we could see him, we probably would think differently. Oh, Jesus is here. We can't see him, but he's here. Where two or more are gathered in my midst, there I am in the midst of them. He's always there. Jesus is there. It is I. Be of good cheer. I'm with you. And now you can see me. You can see me. I'm here. I'm talking to you. And that helps. Well, we need to listen to his voice. We're not alone. We're not in our own power. We have Jesus and he's here. He's here with. He's there with you in the dark of the night. He never took his eyes off of them. They took their eyes off of him. See, that's our problem. The Lord never takes his eyes off of us. We always take our eyes off of him. And so fear will set in. Let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 6, please. Same account, Mark chapter 6. Verse 47 and 48. Mark 6, verse 47. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing. He saw them. In the dark, he saw them. And they were straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. You see, he sees them straining. Maybe they should have stopped straining and started praying. You think that would have been better? Straining gets us nowhere, does it? Well, it does. It gets us in a hospital sometime. That's where straining will get you. I've got another one of these the Lord gave me a long time ago. Have patience or you'll become a patient. I got a bunch of them. Have patience or you'll become a patient. It makes sense. See, don't strain. He saw them straining. They should have been praying. They didn't see him, but he saw them. It is I, he says, literally, I am Jehovah, the great I am. All you need is me. Do not be afraid. These are words for us as children of God. Don't be afraid. In the calm, in the storm, in the day and the night, he is there. He sees you and he's with you and he loves you. He loves you. When things arise and the waves come against you, everything's against you, you're striving, you're rowing, you're trying to be obedient, figure it out. Just start praying and look to Jesus. He's there. Quote scripture. Sometimes it gets so dark in life, we're in such despair, it seems that the Lord is far away, doesn't it? You can get so isolated. We isolate ourselves, our mind, we fall to the prey of the enemy, the devil. And we can seem so far away from the Lord that we don't even recognize him when he comes to us and wants to comfort us. We're so caught up in our trouble and in working it out ourselves. We're straining. You know, I'm going to check out one more thing. I'm going to do one more thing. And he comes to us and he's maybe touching to us, speaking to us. Just look and listen. Wait upon the Lord. Don't be afraid. That's what he'll be saying. Do not be afraid. It is I. I'm here to help you. I love you. He made the Sea of Galilee, the waters. Do you think he can control it? He can definitely calm it. Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Doesn't that sound nice? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All day long they come. And then, look at verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there you are. Don't be afraid. It's him. They were obedient, got into the boat, headed toward the other side. Be obedient and don't be afraid. Because when we obey the Lord, no matter what it looks like, we'll be in the center of his will and he will be with us. That's why we obey the word of God. We don't test God. We don't do what God tells us not to do. We obey God, at least we'll know we're in the center of his will, and he will work it out. Be obedient, don't be afraid. Even if a hurricane is blowing, because we're in the Father's will. And so we continue the story in Matthew verse 28, Peter answered him. Peter always speaks up, doesn't he? And he said, Lord, you know, he's the one that always sounds so strong. And he does opposite of what the Lord would want always. Isn't that amazing? Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Hey, call me to come and I'll come. Just like when he said, Lord, I'll protect you here in the garden. He took out his sword and cut the ear of the servant of the high priest's ear off. The Lord says, don't you think I could call 12 legions of angels down and wipe them out? If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Call on me. I can take care of you. Lord, don't go to the cross. He's telling Jesus. Jesus, get behind me, Satan. Don't avoid suffering. I've got to go to the cross. I'm doing it for you. Here he says, hey, just call me to get out on that water and I'll go. Just tell me to come out on that water. Watch what you ask the Lord for. He just might test you. And you say, oh, no, God, I didn't really mean it. So what does Jesus say? He said, well, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Jesus said, come. Peter, come on, do the impossible. Watch me, keep your eyes on me, and come, get out of that boat. Follow Jesus. Now, if Jesus says, come, you come and you can walk on water. Whatever the Lord asks you to do, he'll enable you to do. But don't you volunteer ahead of time. You see, Peter did. Let him call you. He says, come. So he come to me. And so he does. He's going to give Peter a lesson here. So Peter obeyed. Peter had come down out of the boat, walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hey, everything seems to be all right. No fear, doing the impossible. He obeyed the command of the Lord. And you and I may be able to walk on water. We can find ourselves doing things that are impossible to us, thought we could never do, in obedience to the Lord. Because it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because Jesus is in it. He's commanded me to do it. So he comes. Peter couldn't walk on water, but Jesus could and can make others walk on water. But verse 30, but Peter, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. What do you see wrong here? You pick it up, right? He saw the wind was boisterous. He saw the wind and the sea, and things were bad. So that means he took what? His eyes off of the Lord. As long as his eyes are on the Lord, and he's obeying a command of the Lord, not his own command, he's going to be able to do it. But when he's going to show how tough he is and walk on water, all of a sudden he's going to realize he's on the water, but wait a minute, there's a storm here. I can't walk on water. He became fearful and began to sink. Same water, same person. What's the difference? He took his eyes off of the Lord. Didn't watch Jesus, wasn't doing it in obedience to Jesus. He was in the flesh, and he began to sink. See, we can do the impossible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as long as my eyes and focus and heart are on the Lord and not on the circumstances. Every day, how does this apply to us? Every day these problems come up and we have a tendency to get our eyes on the circumstances, back on the Lord, back on the circumstances. So that's why the Bible says we're like a wave tossed on the sea. All depends where our focus is. All depends where our focus is. That's how we're going to make it through the day, if our focus is on the Lord. Just stay on the Lord. He made a mistake. He saw the wind, the waves, the elements, the circumstances. But he cries out, save me, Lord. He went from fear to hope to doing impossible things back to fear again. Within a matter of seconds, probably. And this can happen to us. Faith, so strong. I just read the Bible in the morning. I'm doing great. And 5 minutes later, but this problem is still here. If we get our eyes off of Jesus, we walk in the flesh. To be my disciples, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. Follow me. Impossible circumstances, scary times, follow him. Don't be afraid. When your small child is sick or scared or in distress, when you have a small child or a baby, when they're in trouble and something fearful has happened, what do? You just grab them and say, look at me, it's okay. It's okay, don't worry, I'm here. And you hug them and tell them to focus on you. Don't look at the bad things. Just look at me. Can you hear yourself say to your child, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Mommy's here. Daddy's here. Don't worry. It's all okay. Isn't that the way you comfort them? Can you hear our Father in heaven saying, Daddy's here. Daddy's here. Don't worry. Daddy's here. I will take care of you. Yeah, but no one else understands or sees or knows or does anything. Daddy's here. I'm here for you. Don't worry. Verse 30, he saw that the wind was boisterous. He was afraid. He began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. I'm sinking. Don't you love the Lord's agape love for us, never failing? His love never fails. He doesn't say, Peter, sink. You deserve it. You blew it. What a bad witness. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say to us in our failings, well, look at you. You failed me again. You got your eyes on the flesh. You deserve what you're getting. And the problem is a lot of people believe that, like, well, I can't go to the Lord. I deserve what I'm getting. I've caused this. What does it say in Hebrews? He encourages us to come to the throne of grace in our time of need to receive mercy and grace. God, forgive me. I got my eyes off of you. Give me grace and help me here. And he will do it. You see? He doesn't say, no, you can't come to me. You did this. What our loving Lord doesn't make us drown because of our failings. He grows us. He loves us. He teaches us. What does happen in verse 31? Immediately, soon as Peter cried out, Lord, save me, Jesus didn't stop and say, should I let him drown or not? You know, I can't get along with this man anyway. Maybe I won't reach out to him. What do I do? No, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to them, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It's a teaching time. He saves him. Maybe you need the Lord just to save you today. Maybe you caused the problem. Just reach out to the Lord and say, help me, forgive me, save me. He will. Don't let Satan get in your head and say, well, your relationship isn't quite right with the Lord. His love never fails. His love never fails. He's going to teach you, though. He's going to say, oh, you have little faith. So we see the problem was faith. Immediately he caught him. Why did you doubt? He had faith in himself and not faith in the Lord. Peter, believe in me. Victory is in Jesus. Christian, we need not fear. So many afraid today in what we go through. Jesus is with us. He never fails. We just need to be obedient to him. And we will do things we thought we could never do. Don't get your eyes off of him. Don't get separated from him. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Isn't that interesting? Lesson is over. How long is this going to go on, Lord? Till everybody learns their lesson. Believe in me. Trust in me. Don't try to work these things out, even with the virus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, as soon as things were over, what the Lord was doing, we read here, they got into the boat and the wind ceased. This is a lesson on faith. And not doubting the Lord. God is a very present help in trouble. Everything that goes on in this world, in our life, goes through God. Everything goes through God. That's comforting to me, because that means he's in charge and he's going to do something. It's not up to me to do something. I just obey him. Be of good cheer. Takes a lot of pressure off. So immediately stretched out his hand, oh, you of little faith. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now back to John chapter 6, our text today, verse 20. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Don't be afraid, it is I. We have scary moments, but here's a couple of verses for us. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, and Jesus our Lord is perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Just have that love relationship with him. We love him because he first loved us. And then again, 2 Timothy, we read, as we've heard earlier today, 2 Timothy 1:7, we read here, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we personally can all have that in our life today. Personally, have peace, no fear, power through the Lord Jesus Christ, and love. Have that love in our heart and a sound mind. And then in John 6:21, this is what I wanted to point out. Immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. They were at their destination. People focus on the miracle of Jesus walking on water. What about this miracle? Immediately, they were at the land that they were going. Does that sound incredible? You know what it speaks to me about? They didn't need to strive at rowing anymore once Jesus was in the boat. What stops our striving? Jesus in the boat, in the car, in the bed, wherever we are. We don't have to continue that worrying tonight. We don't have to be talking about the problem in the car. We don't have to be going all over all these issues we're going through. Jesus is in the boat. He's in control. Pray. Sense his presence. They didn't need to strive to get. It wasn't he got into the boat and says, okay, you got one more guy to help you to row. Let's go. No, he didn't do that. Jesus just does things like that, just like he fed the 5,000. He just speaks and things are done. Whatever you're going through today, the good news is Jesus can speak this morning and change it entirely. I don't know what his plan is, take you through it, go around it, go through it, in it, whatever. But he can do that immediately. That's why it says we have this hope in Christ, because he's in control. Once we think man is in control, they're in control, the world is in control, we got a problem. That's pressure, we got to do something. But when the Lord is in control, he's in charge. He has the clock, he knows when. They receive Jesus into the boat, into the situation, a miracle, they're at their destination. I'm going to close with this verse today, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. Remember this, we've gone over this before many times, Jehoshaphat and the invasion coming against him. And they pray, they turn to the Lord. Verse 18, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17, first of all. He tells him, the Lord speaks to him, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid to get up and go out tomorrow, but I want you to not fight. You're not going to have to fight in this battle because you've come to me. I want you to position yourselves, and our position would probably be in prayer. Position yourselves and stand still. Isn't it hard to stand still? Oh, I got to make a phone call. Or I just got another idea. Let me check it up on Google. You know, it's like, oh, my mind is going all the time. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. And you're not, you still go out tomorrow, but you're not going to have to fight against them. So what did the king do? Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, quite a leader from all the people. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He called the people to worship the Lord. That's what we need to do. Have a call to worship the Lord. That's our answer. That's what he did. And guess what? If you read the rest of the story, they didn't have to fight in the battle. God took care of it where they defeated themselves. So today, we need to renew our faith, strengthen our faith. Our God reigns. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray today that we would leave here stronger in our faith than when we came in here. I pray for all of us to keep our focus on you and not the circumstances. Our hope is in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in man. God, help us to understand that. Help us to yield to you, to honor you, to believe in you. It's so good to just be at peace and not strive, not worry or be anxious or fretting or trying to figure things out. You don't ask us to, because once we do that, our focus is not on you, our prayer is not on you, our worship is not of you. It's on the circumstances, our mind. So today, set us free, Lord, where we can just rest in you on this, the Lord's day. Just walk hand in hand with you, knowing things are under your control. We thank you so much that you're there for us and you never fail us or never stop loving us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.